What's going on, everybody? I'm Keith, host of Just Our Thoughts with the Fellas, where 4 to 5 of my brothers give their perspective on national as well as local news. We touch on some trending hot topics as well as culturally relevant news. We also get a chance to dive into some deep core conversations. Check us out live every other Monday at 7 p.m. You can find us on Just Our Thoughts on YouTube live, as well as Just Our Thoughts fan page on Facebook. Also, please don't forget to follow us on IG, JOT with the Fellas.
What up, fellas?
What's up?
What's good?
What is good, man? What is good? What's up, E? What's up, KD?
Happy Monday.
The fellas.
Yes, sir. Happy Monday, fellas.
Happy Monday. Yo, Monday's a drag sometimes, you know.
You really
gotta give an extra effort on Monday, you know, especially after the weekend. I had to work this weekend, but, you know, it's just good to that relaxation on Sunday. And then you gotta get your mind and body ready for Monday's madness.
That's what I did, man. I really relaxed, man. I took my little guys over to my mom's house, and
Miss Brenda.
About three hours later, they FaceTime me, and you know when you FaceTime, you know you could see the other person's view, and I saw myself, and I was just lying in the bed, man, with my head back, with my arm like this, and I'm like, damn, is that me? Is that what I'm doing? Like, you know, 8 o'clock at night in the bed. I was like,
chill,
man. Hey, I'll tell you, man. I've been trying to get over this cold. I guess I don't know if sinus infection or what, man, but been kicking my butt all week.
Ward, you've been having the sniffles for like years.
I'm always congested. This week was bad. It was bad.
Yeah.
The weather, man. That weather change makes a difference, man. Hot.
We had some cold days last week, yo.
I thought the roof was gonna blow off. I was like, this is a twister.
Yo, it wasn't just cold, it was windy.
Yes. And chilly.
Man, chilly ain't the word for that one.
Oh man, it was cold as heck, man. Shakur representing. We great get this thing started, man. Super Bowl week, man.
Yes.
He done it, man. How y'all feel, man?
We feel good, man. Here's my question. Are you ready for some football? That's my question.
Yes.
Now,
here's
the thing. Now, all of us as brothers, you know, most of us have different teams that we like. We know Keith, INF, for those of you who don't know, Keith's nickname is INF. So INF likes the Cowboys. Ward Heem likes the
Green Bay
Packers. Ward Heem. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go with Haas. He likes Marcus Royal. He likes Chicago Bears. And one more. Let's go with Chris. Allen likes the Kansas City
Chiefs.
And Shakur and I like the Philadelphia Eagles. So as you can see, Shakur, he's representing. And we're
Shakur represents all the time.
So we're excited. So what are you guys doing, man? I mean, talk to me. What are you guys? Are you guys going? Are you chilling? Yeah. Going to a Super Bowl party? What's up?
Yeah, Super Bowl party.
I'm chilling, man. I'm chilling. I feel like I'm chilling. I'm not doing anything. I'm actually looking forward to a good game, man. I ain't gonna hold you. I'm still hurt, man. This thing hurt so bad, man.
Yeah. Be honest. I want you to be transparent.
This thing hurts deep, man. Yeah. This thing hurts deep, brother. The fact that I said it early too, man, in the season.
Yeah. Come on.
Come
on.
Y'all got a good chance to win the Super. And I said it early. Y'all look like a machine. Yeah. Y'all look like a freaking machine out there, man.
Yeah.
Y'all know that dad going jailing. The way, and I, y'all know I love the players. Yeah. Devontae Smith is my dude. I hate it when y'all draft
him. I know you love Devontae. Yeah, I know you do.
The way that dude stand back in the pocket, and I don't care if I get killed by my fan base, but at the same time,
like Micah Parsons giving love.
At the end of the game, y'all know they go to the middle field and pray. I don't get caught up into that. But y'all got a machine out there, man, that's built. That's ready to go. They oil, man. Them jokers is ready to rock, man. And it hurt. I knew we wasn't even gonna beat y'all. If we beat the 49ers, I don't think we could have beat y'all.
Yeah.
So it hurts. It hurts, man.
And you know, I wanted to hurt. I really did. I wanted to burn and seethe.
It is. It is.
Because it would be that way with me if I saw the Cowboys.
It hurt, KD.
I wouldn't watch it.
Oh, man.
You know, but I get you know, a good feeling about how people feel about seeing us in the Super Bowl, man. It's a beautiful feeling. It's a beautiful feeling because I work around Niners and Giants and Packers.
Cowboys,
you know, in spin class and at the job and everything. And right now I'm just relishing in the glory that God has shined down.
Yo, how you think God is, bro?
God has been so good right now. He's been so good. You know, but you know, again, you talked about Jalen Hurts, man. Jalen has a great story about being benched in the championship game. I think what was that back in 2017, 2018? He was benched for Tua Tagovailoa. You know what I'm saying? And you know, look at his journey.
Look at me now.
People said that he could not improve as a passer. Yeah. People said that he could not, you know, lead a team, you know, not just to a divisional, but to a playoff win, getting trounced last year by Brady and the Bucks. You know,
so now you ask him out. At him. So now you ask him, how's that crow? It was funny because, like, on ESPN, I think it was ESPN, they were showing all the people that were talking about Jalen Hurts, like, oh, yeah, he won't do this, he won't do that. But look at him now. The boy sat back in that pocket. He was not rattled not one bit all season. Nah. That was crazy. The way his poise and then just taking off and running, yo, that was crazy.
I like the fact, man, he's considered not a double threat, but I think he's a triple.
He's just a threat.
A triple threat, man. You know,
he's a complete threat.
That arm, you know, he was. People said that he didn't have that arm. I mean, he got the legs. He has that field vision. I think he knows how to read defenses. So I think he's going to do well, man. The only way we lose is if we beat ourselves, man. What bothers me the most, though, I think
y'all haven't though.
Huh?
Y'all haven't beat yourselves. That's the thing. Yeah, y'all had a game where y'all had a lot of penalties and still won. I think y'all exceeded the other team.
That was against Indianapolis, I believe. So Hurts only has one loss, EB.
Yeah, that's one against Washington. That's against Washington.
Yeah. You know, and he still played a great game, you know. But so he's looking at a big contract in the offseason. This is our quarterback for the next decade. You know, and I believe it's only up from here. So I just want y'all to, you know, tune in on Sunday. I want y'all to watch the Eagles. I want y'all to watch the Eagles. Two Super Bowls, EB, in the past 6 years, right?
Yes.
Two Super Bowls. You know, there's many of us sitting right here that haven't seen a Super Bowl. I don't know.
I've seen my boys in the Super Bowl on several occasions, five of them to be exact. It's a long time ago.
You sound like my brother Mark, man.
Yeah, I've seen him.
He got a shirt, man, that says "Got Five."
Got five.
Hey, I was in my mid 20s when they last. I was in my mid 20s.
You weren't an adult.
Hey, listen, real quick. Let's point out something a little deeper.
About the two black quarterbacks.
The first thing is, well, let's talk about the first time in history. I'm going to go with the two brothers, Travis Kelce, tight end for Kansas City.
Yes.
And then you got Jason Kelce, who was the center for the Philadelphia Eagles. So first time in history where you have two brothers facing one another in the Super Bowl. And then, as you just said, Ward, you got two black quarterbacks. I think that speaks volumes, man, because it was once said, and I believe it's still being talked about, that the black quarterback is not the person to run the team. But I beg to differ because you see the way the league is turning. You need that mobile quarterback in order to, you know, be successful. Patrick Mahomes. Jalen Hurts, you know, look at the other ones in the league, you know. They're doing a good job. And I think that this is the way.
You know, another stat that was crazy that I seen was, you know, you got both were number one seeds. Both had the same, I think it was the same amount of touchdowns.
And then
it was like their stats were damn near identical going into the Super Bowl.
Hey, yo,
that's crazy. This is going to be a good game.
It is. Yo, I got a question. So, and maybe y'all can help me. So, I've seen many interviews, Mike Vick, Donovan, and Jalen. Haven't seen any with Randall in them joints.
Really?
Yeah. And they got those three interviewing. Well, those two interviewing with Jalen, talking about you know, Philadelphia quarterback, the dual quarterback, triple threat, running, passing, their success. But I haven't seen any with Randall. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, yeah, y'all can't forget Randall. He started that.
Don't forget my guy.
Yeah.
I think with 12, the ultimate weapons, what they used to call him,
Rocket Man.
Yeah, I think with 12, he had some.
What they used to call him?
The ultimate weapon. Remember, he was on Sports Illustrated. That was about 91.
Right.
He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and it said the ultimate weapon, Randall. I think that he had some personal losses recently.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure, but I don't know if it was a child of his. But I think it was kind of too close to what had occurred to for him to be a part of that.
When
Robert Griffin had interviewed the three of them. But yeah, you definitely, as a black quarterback, every black quarterback looked up to Randall for what he was able to do, you know, with his arm and with his legs, you know, really, when he showed how complete of a player he was when he went to the Minnesota Vikings. He was on the verge of taking them to the Super Bowl, but the boy missed the field goal that, you know, kept them out.
I remember that.
You know, so yeah, you know, it's rich tradition with black quarterbacks in Philly. Andy Reid gave Mike Vick a chance when he was locked up. Gave him a chance to kind of, you know, redeem himself after you know. So, I just want y'all to sit back and enjoy, man. I want you to sit with someone that you love, you know, someone that you care about, that can kind of help you temper your emotions. It's going to be an emotional roller coaster for many of you sitting right here at the sound of my voice. You know, you're going to see.
Ward is rooting for y'all. I think I'm the only one that's going against you.
It's
going to be a good one, man. I think it's going to be a high scoring game, man.
Jalen's
not that type of high volume thrower, you know, so I think he's definitely going to give you all of what he has, but you're going to see a high volume amount from Patty. Patty be walking like this all the time with his head to the side like this.
Yo, Patty's going to have some awkward, throws.
I think.
But if we was to give a prediction, fellas, I'll go first. I'm saying 33-31 Birds. 33-31.
You know, it's funny though. I seen something on Facebook talk about they leaked out the score already. And it showed that Philly is going to win 37-34.
That was close.
And it's crazy. They got the Chiefs at the end of the first quarter, 10-0. Yeah. Then they got it. Then at the end of the third quarter, tied at 24. And then the Eagles winning by a field goal. So I want to see with how that plays out.
How accurate it is.
Because you know how the league is now, man. Don't fools. We know they be
fixing it
stuff up. They be fixing it.
Because the birds, because the birds is in it is rigged.
Let me get my prediction before okay.
It's rigged because the birds is in it, baby.
It might have been fixed to have the birds in it.
I'm gonna say I'm gonna go Eagles 31, Chiefs 27. My issue is I can't picture Chiefs are explosive. I just can't picture people. I know some teams put some points up on y'all. I just can't see it. This game.
Well, Hassan Reddick's coming after him.
Yeah. What you got, KD?
Well, we've been averaging about 31 points in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know,
I'm about right then.
Yeah. So I'm going to stick with a 31 for the birds. And I'm almost with you. You had that 27. I'm going to say that 24. Yeah. And I'm going to say it really comes down with Patty with that ball.
The last drive on the last drive?
In a two-minute drill in the fourth quarter.
Okay. Okay.
Just like it came down with, you know, Dougie against Bill Belichick. And it came down to that last drive by Tom Brady. So, okay. We're going to see if Brandon Graham got a strip sack in him.
Hey, my man BG, he lost a step, man. I watched him.
He looks good. No. He looks good this year, bro. Comeback player of the year. He should have got voted on.
He's he's at an all-time high for sacks.
Yeah. Hey.
Shakur, you
free? We still there? Yeah, now he's good now. Yeah. Hey, we about 17 minutes in, so we still just going to go through our welcome. We had to get some football. We can talk football all day to just our thoughts with the fellas. I'm your host. Here we talk about national news, culturally relevant topics. And, you know, we have some core conversations with the fellas just really about our culture. And we certainly going to have some tonight. You know, got my brothers, Wardy, E-Dub, and the professor, Kevin Cav on, man. What's going on, fellas? Hey, what's good?
Hey. What up?
What up, though?
Hey, you know what? One last thing. I meant to ask y'all. Kevin, you might be able to speak to it more. I'm not sure about E. I want to see about E. DJ Drama said that
I can't speak to it.
You can't. he said it already. Yeah.
Not even ready for it. You talking about the song.
DJ Drama said that Little Uzi Vert's song is taking over Nightmares and Dreams as the Philly anthem. His Just Wanna Rock song. What y'all think about that, man?
Yeah, yo, that Just Wanna Rock is insane. It's insane. Little Uzi Vert led them out against the Niners. That song. I think right now it has been the playoff anthem, but you know, everybody's saying worldwide as it relates to Meek and the correlation with the birds. That song worldwide.
Okay, I got you.
Really, you know, so if they win the Super Bowl, you're going to hear that song. You might hear Lil Uzi Vert throughout the course of the Super Bowl in the beginning for the birds. But when it's all said and done and the dust settles and we lift that Lombardi trophy, you're going to hear.
Love it.
You're going to hear. when the dust settles, you gonna hear dreams and nightmare. Hold up, wait a minute. Y'all thought it was finished. When
that's 3 years later, you'll never hear that.
You'll hear it. And the crazy thing is that, you know, Meek Mill was in jail, locked up on that old probation charge. But his song was still the anthem. He couldn't
Right. Yeah, so
Let's get ready for that parade.
Hey, y'all want to move on to some trending topics, man? One of the things last night was last night's Grammy. I wanted to throw some things around there with y'all, man. I don't know if you guys got a chance to check it all out, but I wanted to certainly shout out first, before we get into some conversation, man, Viola Davis, who's achieved EGOT status after picking up her first Grammy. The 57-year-old actor won an award for her best audiobook, narration and storytelling recording for her memoir Finding Me at the 2023 Grammy Awards last night. That honor follows her Emmy with win for How to Get Away with Murder, her Oscar for Fences with Denzel, and her Tony for both King Headley and Fences. One of my I love Fences, man. So she's, you know, Viola Davis, we know she's a dope actress, man. Yeah. She's the third black woman to attain EGOT status, man. So shout out to Viola Davis, man. A wonderful, brilliant, amazing, just dope actress, man. Yes. What, anything else stand out for y'all, man?
I know we're going to go there with the 50th anniversary of hip-hop.
Okay.
The hip hop tribute. Yo, I honestly sitting there, yo, man, that shit brought a tear to my eye. Cause you know,
seeing
Run out there, Run and DMC on the stage again. You know what I mean? And then, you know, Rakim and when Paz came out, you know, I flipped out.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? And when Latifah came out, but I will say this, and this just shows my age. It's like when dude with the silver suit and My Little Pony and then the voodoo doll came out, I'm like, yo, what the hell is this?
Who the voodoo doll?
Kodak Black, I guess that's his name, with the spiked ass hair.
That was Uzi.
That was Uzi. See, there we go. I don't know who the hell
he is. Yeah. I was happy that they added some of the young hip hop artists on there, because it really like just links the hip hop culture from you talking about Grandmaster Flash and Melly Mel, like you said, all the way through, you know, Rakim, through my boys The Locks was up on there.
Yeah,
and then you got Nipsey, you know what I mean? And then you got, you know, some 2000s, and then it links them to, you know, to Lil Uzi Vert, and the other ones that was on there, man. If somebody played a song of Lil Uzi Vert, I may know two, but I respect the fact that they did that, man, and I thought it was dope, man, that they added them and incorporated that young generation.
I could see that too, man. It's a good that they linked it. However, me, I wish an LL put up the disclaimer. In the beginning,
I'm glad he did.
Yeah, when he said we can't fit everything,
we can't put them all.
Can't put them all. But I was happy, man. You know, to see, you know, Rakim, you know, Run DMC, and Ward. I know you went ballistic, you know, for De La. I was wondering though if they were going to have, you know, a few more West Coast, you know.
Yeah, I heard that this morning.
In the mix, you know, I was telling Tina last night, I was like, oh, I didn't see too many West Coast, you know.
Or down south.
Well, they where's Nelly? Midwest? Yeah. Where's Nelly?
Nelly's south.
Yeah.
He's
St. Louis,
I like the fact that Lil Uzi Vert though, he gives a big shout out to Camden, because he came through Camden often, you know, because I believe he's PA over in Philly. But he said that, you know, he got a lot of memories of being in Camden, being at the Millennium Skate World and just coming through. And he just gave like a on the red carpet, they asked him about Jersey. And he said he gave a big shout out to Camden and his influence on him. So that was like, I was taken aback by hearing that. You know, he's one of the more prominent artists of today's generation. But it was good to see behind the scenes Jay-Z and Rakim share a moment together too. And one thing Hov said to the God Rakim, he said, you know, thank you for paving the way. He just kept saying that, thank you for paving the way. You know, and that was that was dope to see, you know what I'm saying? So you know, to see that chronology of hip hop, you know, and how it's moved and changed and shifted. It was dope, and to keep the women there. And I think I think Hov had a big influence in the direction of that hip hop performance last night.
But so. I wonder why Hov didn't, you know, get a quick, you know, 20-30 seconds up on the stage. You know what I'm saying?
Hov performed.
He performed afterward.
Yeah.
Okay. I turned it off after that. I'm talking about in the mix of that tribute.
Yeah, I think he wanted others to shine, you know what I'm saying? You know, to kind of pay homage to, you know, the groundwork. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Some of the everybody artists that really don't get they don't get Grammys and they don't get the air, you know, the buzz on the airwaves like he does. Yeah. So you saw a lot of artists that you really don't get to see on that primetime stage like that. So I think he wanted that to kind of shine. He would do his thing with DJ Khaled, that God did it.
You know who killed it for me, man, was Busta Bus, man.
Oh, definitely.
Bus
but
killed
just,
it,
just like even like going back what you said, he was like, I was surprised that they didn't bring MC Light out the booth and put her on stage.
I thought she's on the Academy's board, you know what I mean? I was wondering, and I think her, like Jay, is kind of like maybe in the same boat in terms of, but it would have been dope, it would have been dope to see MC Light, you know what I mean? Yeah. I think the last person I was trying to remember, KD, is the baby. I think he came after Uzi Vert.
He was the last.
You probably the baby was probably the one in the silver suit then.
Yeah, that was him.
Then it was some chick with some real long weave. I didn't know who they were.
That's just me talking about what I'm like.
But it's not. It's just like I understand what y'all talking about as far as tying in.
Yeah,
you know, the origin to the end product, you know, well, so-called end product right now, but you know, I'm just going by what I like.
Yeah,
it's my personal opinion. They had me all the way up until the last. That's all. I'm not down in the whole thing.
Now check this out. It's my understanding that it was, you know, we talked about, somebody mentioned it earlier. Of the direction of where the where it was going, but check out this name, man. Harvey Mason Jr. Harvey Mason Jr. Man, he's the CEO of the Recording Academy, which kind of produced it, and he's a brother. So I think that enabled it to be a lot more diversified, you know, because back in the day, man, you know, we only would get, you know, a little sprinkle here and there.
And it kind of goes back to what Katie's saying, because some of those that was actually performing was their first time at the Grammys.
Yeah,
you know, that was their first time at the Grammys. Another person, man, y'all might kill me, man. Why am I forgetting her name, man? She performed. She won an award. Sister, man.
Lizzo.
Yo, my first time, I loved her performance, man. I'm sitting here like, that's dope, man.
She really got a nice voice.
Yeah, she had a dope performance. And I'm like, Keith, you getting old or something? You get like, what is that? Yeah, I love Lizzo's performance, man, and the fact that, you know, her how she adores Beyonce, man. You know, when she gave her speech, man, I thought, you know, yeah, you saw that earlier. She was looking like, for
Beyonce's
she
in the building.
You think that, right?
Yeah.
Anything else, man, stands out for y'all?
EB brought up Trevor. The new Harv Mason, you know, and Harv Mason, Steve Stout, Jay-Z, they all go back to the Blueprint.
The Blueprint.
So that's another dude that, you know, helped produce one of Jay-Z. So they, you know, again, that's Hov's influence, right?
Yeah,
Hov has. Yeah. And a lot of projects, you know, that we see, he's working behind the scenes that really kind of, you know, show, you know, the other side of hip hop and other people's stories that haven't been really on display, like, you know, like it should be. Mm-hmm. I like Lizzo's energy. I liked the host too.
He's
up and coming. Right, he's up and coming.
He did a great job. I think this is his third year doing the Grammys. But he impressed me, man. He's my dude right there.
He's going to be around a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been around for some time.
Yes, he has.
He's been around. Yeah, that's my man. No, you got it.
No, I was going to say, I've seen him here and there. He does like a late night or something. What does
he do? Well, he was on the Daily Show and he quit.
He just recently left. Quit. Yeah.
But yeah. The boy, he's funny. I mean, I watched his last stand-up. I didn't think it was all that funny. But
his first one is.
But when he was on the Daily Show, he made you want to come back and watch it because
I love you some Trevor, man.
Between his humor,
uh-huh,
his wit, and just his and the way he talks, he just eloquently just speaks to you and he just draws your attention. Is ridiculous. That's the dude right there.
Yeah. Nah, I mess with Trevor. Oscar or Grammy? Which one would you rather have? Oscar or Grammy?
That's a good one. Depends on what are you more into? Are you more into, you know, the music? Well, are you more into the big screen?
Personally, I wouldn't care about either because it's I'd rather deal with just the fans and because that's a cat, you know, that's voted on by something other than the people. So I would
either one. It shows that you put in a lot of hard work, energy, and effort to eat.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah.
To either make that song or to perform on that stage.
Yeah.
So
I think
I would prefer an Oscar, you know.
Yeah.
Because at one point, you know, whether it's writing or producing, I would like to show that, you know, I put together something that's, you know,
a fallacy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's power. Yeah, for me, that would be
a fallacy. Really?
It could be. You know, a brainstorming.
I just trapped your ass into saying that. You know that, right?
It could be something that, you know, that art, man. You know what I'm saying? Like Denzel, when he gets up there, man, he's acting. You know what I'm saying? It shows that he has a talent, and you know, in those Oscars, man. You know, best picture, you know, best actor, best producer, you know, got, you know, scoring the music, you know what I'm saying? So it shows that you put together your skill set
to
bring it all together.
I'm a music buff myself, but I agree with E. Like, I don't know, I love the visuals, you know, and the Oscars, what you put out there on film, you know what I'm saying? I kind of dig the visuals with everything. That's why I love music videos, you know, because I like to see how they're going to really portray the lyrics. How's it really going to look? The lighting, the scene, the setting, the characters, the plot, even in the short video, you know what I'm saying? So for me, it would be an Oscar because, you know, I guess somewhere in my other life I'm a performer.
I'm with you with that. I think I would do the Oscar too, man. Yeah, just submitting yourself and so submerging yourself, man, mm-hmm. in the character and making that character come to life, man. Yeah, and yeah. I think it's something, not taking nothing away from the Grammys and or anything, but mm-hmm. I was thinking about that, man. And I said, I think it would be just amazing to be able to, you know, pull off a performance, man, when you bring a whole nother character to life, man. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. I'm with that. Give me my Oscar.
Hey, where we going from here, man? Where we going from here, man? What we got next in trending topics, fellas?
What y'all want to deal with? Y'all want to talk about police brutality?
Yeah, let's go to Tyree. Let's go to Tyree Nicole, man.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, KD, man. You anybody want to unpack that, man?
Yeah, I did have a little blurb on that because I had talked about it on another show not too long ago. A couple things that had kind of stood out to me, but so you know, we know the whole timeline with Tyree Nicole, and we know about the killing 29-year-old black motorist pulled over January 7th for an alleged traffic stop. He was allegedly driving reckless. And after attempting to flee on foot, as what they say, Nichols was aggressively beaten by police and he died 3 days later. And then the body cam footage had came out, you know, maybe about 2 weeks afterwards. So we kind of saw these officers get charged, get taken off their jobs in about 20 days or so. And these were, what, 5 black police officers, 1 mm-hmm. white officer who maybe a couple weeks after the black officers were charged.
Right.
Then a white officer who they saw on the video that was tasing Tyree.
Mm-hmm.
They then took him and suspended him. And then they
suspended.
You know, then they later had relieved him, what they say, relieved him of his duties. The black officers were fired, but the white officer was relieved of his duties. But there were so many stories about what happened, you know, so many different scenarios about why these specific black officers who were called a Scorpion unit, and they were assigned specifically to the black community. We talk about representation matters and policing our own community. And I think that was one of the things that was intended, one of the intentions for this unit to be representation of black men to handle issues in the black community there. But we saw, and again, I didn't watch the videotape. I could not.
You know what? This was the first. I think this may have been the first one that I didn't watch. Everything else I kind of watched. And I think after hearing it for a few days, I was saying to myself, I said, I can't. I don't know if I can see it. Yeah. I don't know if I can see it. And I saw like little blurbs, you know, here and there, but not a full one. And just a tease, but everything else is blurry for me. I'm with you with that one because this one, for some reason, I couldn't put myself through.
Yeah, bro, I think that, you know, watching us on videotape get beaten senselessly in the street is very traumatizing to black people, specifically black men. And it came to a point where I'm like, I got to protect my own mind. Because watching that, I did, you know, and me and my 10-year-old will talk about and kind of process these things that's going on, but I would not want him watching that one. And they said it was reminiscent of Rodney King's beating. You know, what makes it more heinous in a lot of ways is that these were our brothers. They were fraternity individuals, but they say that they were kicking him like a football, you know, the way that they heinously brutalized this young man. So, you know, Yeah, I just had to really protect my mind because when you start to see these videos, I think one of the things that we do just automatically is we put ourselves as that victim. I see my face in the place of that victim, and I'm thinking about, you know, my sons and my family and my, you know, watching, you know, looking at pictures of me on a ventilator in the hospital about to die 3 days later. For me, that's too much. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Even turning 50, you know, I'm getting softer, you know, but to watch that right there.
I first
saw it, actually, not to tease INF, but on the ski trip that you missed, brother. they tuned into it, and it was basically they were rolling it out, and it was like to see them like kick, and I know you guys didn't see it and you heard, but to for them to kick, hit, pepper spray. Back in the day, man, we had this term, man, called you remember, like, yo, that brother, he got jumped. He got jumped, man, by those police officers. And Professor Kev, you mentioned them being members of Omega Psi Phi. You know, three of those brothers actually got their membership revoked, from my understanding, from their grand Basilisk, or the name of it, I believe it is. That's man, it was tough. It was tough to watch, man. And to hear and see that brother call out for his mom, like, mom, help me. It's it's like it was just unjust, man. You know what I'm saying? Very disturbing, man. You know?
We got a couple comments on the side.
Well, when I seen this thing, I was like, this is bad all the way around. For one, you got, you know, dude getting beat up, you know, killed by the police. Then it was all brothers that did it. They really got me. And I'm like, well, what the hell? And then they were immediately fired. So that tells you one thing, that the color of your skin does matter, because if it was white cops that beat the boy up, they would either be administrative leave or behind a desk or whatever, you know, something like that. So that killed me. Beyond that, now I'm hearing one of the cops was off duty. And the reason why the reason why the boy was targeted was because he was seeing one of the cops' ex-girlfriends, and he called his boys like, yo, I want to run down on this dude. Like,
I heard that
you want to run down on somebody for him seeing your ex-girl? Come on, man. So you're gonna put your boys in jeopardy. And then your boys is like, fuck it, I'm gonna do it, you know. And they like, yeah, we're gonna ride with you and do something real stupid.
In uniform.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yo, this just looks bad
all the way around.
Every aspect you can look at it. Before it's bad for the cops, because they're really showing you that white is right, black, we don't care about you.
And it's showing that
a lot of these police, they are just blinded by this blue line crap, that they think they're protected by the brothers in blue, which you're not. You're there doing a job that was basically invented to get rid of your dumbass. So why, you know, I'm not going to, you know, go into like why black cops and all that. But
I got you.
They're showing to you that they really don't care about you.
Yeah.
And that they're not going to protect you like they're going to protect their own.
Right. ELM 351.
Yes.
He had a question. He said, has that been confirmed? I'm not too sure if it has been confirmed, but I did hear that, but I don't know.
What about him being off duty? Because they said, I think they said the one about- dude, The dude that actually called the other ones to come help, well, come get him, worked at FedEx or something. I kind of heard that's what I kind of.
Well, no, Tyree, from my understanding, Tyree
worked at
FedEx, and the young lady supposed to work had worked.
Yeah.
Far as you know, being, I'm not too sure if he's talking about the off duty part or if he's.
I think he's talking about the store.
Yeah, the story as far as dating like the boys, but baby mama.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I think for me, you know, after we talked about, you know, our availability, you know, we've been doing this, man. You know, the four of us, you know, we started this, man, right after George Floyd. We started this maybe a month or so after George Floyd during while we were all on quarantine, man, and we've had this conversation, and right after George Floyd, Jacob Blake, you know, happened, and we had some conversation. We had a cop from Camden on, had a conversation with him, and it's been a thing since we've all been born here, and it continues to be a thing, and then sometimes it's. Damn, we're not getting away from this. Do we back talking about this again? After having the same conversation over and over and over again. And you know, I know you brothers, man, really well. And we know it would be, you know, kind of, although it's tough for us sometimes, like Kevin says, he didn't want to watch it. I hear Ward's passion when he gets frustrated. You know, with the same old, it'd be the same thing. But it would be irresponsible for us not to have that conversation on our platform because this is a conversation that, you know, we again engulf ourselves in, you know, not just to be talking about it, but what are some solutions? You know, we got, you know, I see, well, it's black on black crime. You know what I mean? And they're trying to lump things together and not speak geographically or about the demographics of black on black, white on white, you know, versus, you know, it's police brutality.
Right.
That's what this is.
Right.
It's them hiding behind a shield and taking whatever it is because their perception of what how they value us as black men, there is no value. Right. And for me, you know, it's disheartening. Not surprising, you know, because at all, because we already know it's going to happen again in the next 6 months at some point, you know, somewhere in the country. You know, we just don't hear about all of it.
Right, exactly.
You know, so it being solution based, you know, sometimes it's like, I don't know. Yeah. You know, we talk about defunding the police. We talking about police training. We talking about so many different things, but at the same time, guns are still being given to people.
You know what it is, Keith? A lot of times people, when they talk about solutions, it's a broad topic. It's a broad spectrum. Like they say, defund the police. Okay, defund the police in what aspect? What do you mean defund the police? They don't get into specifics as far as, you know, the different types of training to give these individuals and to, you know, different types of methods of if they should send out somebody with not special needs, but somebody dealing with mental illness along with these cops to do like certain checks. You know, I can understand you can't send someone like that out on patrol with them all the time, but you can have someone on hand when you get those calls. Like, look, we have, you know, we have a special needs that like somebody's getting out of hand. Cause we've seen that in the past where a parent will call the police saying that their child is getting a little out of hand and they need help.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You come out there acting like they're a criminal. No, they're not a criminal. They're having an episode, which
somebody
under, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
we need to actually.
Well, you know what, though, with that, I 100% agree with you. But in this case, yo, we're talking about a unit that was specifically designed to be in this black neighborhood to terrorize and to take down people. That comes from the police unit, you know, thinking that this is a strategy and orchestrating this because this is where people are having issues. So we're giving you this gun, we're giving you this badge. And they were some young boys too. You know what I mean? To be able to disrupt or do whatever it is that they need to do to think that order is gonna follow. Like, but I'm with you
you don't see what they were actually going with that. Think about it. What's the biggest terror? The police are a big gang themselves.
Right.
So what better way to put a message out there that we're a big bad gang in a black neighborhood by sending a bunch of brothers out there to let them go and do the same thing that the white boys wanted to do, but they get away, their hands is clean. So now they got the brothers out there doing it. They sit back laughing their asses off.
Yeah, and now they fire and potentially will lose their life. Yeah.
Because we're not protecting you. We want you to go out there and do our dirty work. And then once you get caught, there's our escape.
You know what this all boils down to me overall, man? We're living in a world and in a society where some people, they just don't care. They think that they can say and do whatever they want. Did they forget that they had on body cams? Like, don't you know that if this body cam footage is reviewed, you're going to be seen as someone who, you know, like the police brutality, there was another poll, and I know you guys didn't see it, but
yeah, it was another video.
There was another video of camera on the pole.
Right. Right. They went through great lengths to cover up the body camera footage at the time of the incident. And really what got them exposed was the other camera that was in the area at the time. So they went through great lengths.
So they tried to hide it. I didn't know that part.
To cover up. And, you know, once they had to figure all that out, they found the other camera in the area that got a strong vantage angle of how maliciously they beat Tyree Nichols. A couple takeaways that I have from you guys talking. I think qualified immunity, the protection that police officers have, has to be taken away. You know, it has to be taken away. They should be able to be liable for the deaths that they are guilty of. You know, when they, you know, kill us in the street, you know, recklessly like this. So qualified immunity is one thing. And then also when we talk about defunding the police, we're talking about reallocating funds. They receive millions of dollars, millions upon Los Angeles receives billions of dollars for the police force. But they need to really rethink and reimagine the police force to reallocate those funds, to have people that you can call. I didn't know now that there's a number you can call, which is 988 instead of 911 in certain areas. 988 is what you call for a mental health crisis. And that is really not getting a lot of publicity. You know, it's not getting a lot of, people are using that or really talking about that or the commercials about that, anything like that. You know, let people know that they will send someone when a person is going through a legitimate mental health crisis. You know, so more of the police funding needs to go to strategies that can assist the officers so that they don't take another life so recklessly. And then the last thing is look at the speed in which these black officers were suspended, fired, and charged. We see how in the past, you know, with white officers who have murdered black men and women, it's taken 2 years.
Yeah.
So to get them off the police force, to have their so-called internal investigation.
Yeah,
you know, say that, okay, we found this, you know, it took this investigation 20 days. And I was listening to the attorney Ben Crump talk about this, and he was like, this is the blueprint now. Mm-hmm. No more can they say that they need 2 years or more to do an investigation. If y'all was able to swiftly come to the conclusion that these officers
need to be
taken off the force and charged criminally, this is the blueprint going forward. No more should it take months or years to come to some type of conclusion of an investigation, you know. So, you know, we got a lot of things now that have happened, unfortunately, from this brutal slaying of Tyre Nichols, but it's a lot of solutions on the table because of what transpired in his death.
Hey, I got a solution. I got one solution. Like I've been saying this for years. Make the police buy insurance just like doctors do. If they're
therapists, therapists have insurance too.
So I mean, they should be made to carry insurance. If anything is found for wrongdoing, it comes out of their pocket, not ours.
Yeah,
because whenever there's a lawsuit, police department don't pay. That comes out of tax dollars.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean they should make that come out of their pockets.
Yeah. So unfortunately, we back anything. Anybody got anything? Anything left on the table with that woman? Any crumbs left on that?
I think that was a lot right there.
A lot right there.
Unfortunately, we back here, man. As flowers, man, were, you know, sent to the family's house, man, and tears were shed, and hugs given, man, and you know, the words, man. Heartfelt words were given at his funeral, man. Kamala Harris, you know, was there at the funeral. Mm-hmm. You know, it's still at some point, man, another brother lost, man, to police brutality. And months later, a family has to heal, has to be able to come out of, you know, nothing, you know, to be able to move on and be able to live what their new norm looks is, man. So, man, prayers to Tyre Nichols and his family. You know, may God bless them and continue to keep their minds and keep their heads, man, and cover them and comfort them with his loving arms, man. So let's keep it moving, man. Let's keep it moving, man. We got a couple more. We got one more, man.
Yeah, one more.
Which one we
do? Yeah, what we got?
I did put in there about Darius.
I want to throw something around there. You got that, KJ?
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if y'all was too familiar with the Darius Miles, University of Alabama basketball player. He was charged with murder and the death of a 23-year-old mother and removed from the team. This happened early in January, about January 17th. Miles, 21, and Michael Lynn Davis, 20, were arrested and charged with the capital murder in the shooting death of Jamea Jonae Harris near the university campus. They said that now what's coming out is that they said that Darius provided Michael Davis with the handgun. There's a lot of different stories of what happened. If there was an altercation between an individual in the car that the young woman was in and the alleged shooter, or was this a dispute over this young woman rejecting one of the two?
That's individuals. The story I heard. Yeah.
So it's conflicting stories right now, but you got these two, you know, this one promising basketball player whose name that we only know of now because he's charged with capital murder because he provided the handgun. So this young woman whose life is taken away. And when I first heard about the story, fellas, I was just thinking about, you know, if that narrative is true, that this individual was so upset because of rejection. And again, this is just speculation. I don't know. I'm not saying that's the reason for her life being taken away. You know, It's just something that I think a lot of men need to be taught. You know, if there's an issue with being rejected, you know, How do you handle rejection?
Shakur.
Yeah.
Yo, so when I, yo, it's crazy because when I heard the story, I heard it from the second one where he was rejected. She rejected his advance and she wasn't feeling him. And it was just a, I'm not interested. And he pushed a little harder and she's dead for saying no, that I'm not interested.
Right.
I thought about the many times we've seen rejection when we were out in our early 20s. Mm-hmm. I thought about those times at the Freaknik, at the Greek, mm-hmm. when dudes are very, very, very aggressive in their approach, grabbing a sister's arm, walking up to her, touching her in an inappropriate way, and that rejection. And at that age, you know, you see it so often, you kind of become accustomed to it, and sisters can become accustomed to it too. Mm-hmm. And it is right in line with what you're saying in terms of how we, you know, how we manage and how we cope with that rejection. You know what I mean? When you're really trying to, you know, you're interested in something and she telling you no, and you're going to say something again and she tell you hell no, and then you keep pushing.
Then you get mad.
And then you get mad. And what do you say? What happens then?
I'm not saying it. We've heard it.
Well, we've heard it. F you then.
That's
been the response many times that we heard, you know, because of rejection.
Rejection.
And the thing is, you know, we got to teach our young boys how to deal with rejection, you know, not being accepted. There's going to come times where you are not going to be accepted, either from your classmates, your peer group, a girl that you might have a liking for. You got to have that frank conversation that you're not going to be accepted by everybody.
You're not
going to be everybody's cup of tea. You're not going to be everybody's first choice. You know, and you got to be okay with yourself. And, you know, we used to call it getting shot down.
Yo, I ain't heard that term in years. Getting shot down. Wow.
Let me just go. and that
was funny, man. Just like you said, accepting it. Yeah, I got shot down. Like, not a biggie. You know what I mean? Whereas other people, they can't take it, man. It's like it does something to their mental. It's traumatic.
And you know,
it's from what they've seen. Because we imitate what has come before us. So they've seen the rejection in the wrong manner. They haven't seen it from a real person, like, you know, I can take that rejection. That's fine. It's cool. I can move on to the next shit. But, you know, a lot, you know, I don't know, man. I don't have kids, so I don't know, you know, how you guys handle your children, you know, your kids.
About rejection.
It's the crowd that's around, too, you know, because if you you're with a pack of fellas and they pack see you make that move and, you know, your pride is on the line. You know what I'm saying? Your reputation is on the line right there, that if you don't get the response that you're intended to get, you know, you got to, you know, make sure that you still show some type of face, you know,
your response.
So usually many times it's because I don't want it to, you know, I don't want it to end like that because they're looking at me. They're seeing if I'm going to be successful. They're looking for me to fail. And if I fail, I'm going to take everyone down with me. You understand? That's what a lot of dudes still perpetuate that mindset.
Yo, soon as y'all went pal, I thought about times when people were out and somebody, and we, you know, for those that's listening, we talking about our early 20s, you know, late teens when we were out just hanging out, the fellas. I'm thinking about somebody approaching somebody, and one of us in particular, nobody in particular, and after the rejection, you got about two or three fellas looking at you, waiting to shoot you. When you turn around, just to let you know, we watched you get shot down.
Yeah.
And how about this? On the flip side of that, how about the person being shot down knowing that he's being watched and he puts up the finger as you watch his back? Like, I know y'all watching me. I got shot down.
But you know, you gotta, like, how do we respond? You know, is really the question. You know what I'm saying? How are you gonna respond if it's done in private, if it's done in public? You know, you gotta have that same approach, because again, you gotta realize that you're gonna have failures in life with relationships, with projects, and you know, any type of thing. And that's one of the things, even not just, you know, our young boys need to be taught that. You got grown men
that definitely need to be taught that.
You know what I teach my little guys? I tell them that you're not going to win. So that's the overall message to them, like basketball. They lose the game. I say, hey, no trophies. You're not gonna win all the time. So I want them to relate that same concept of you're not always going to win that game.
To life.
You're not always going to win certain things in life.
Yeah.
So they become equipped to that. So when they face it or experience it, they'll know, like, okay, this is what he was talking.
Right.
Yeah. I also think that you, honestly, I think that how you cope and how you manage getting shot down is actually attached to your intentions. You know what I mean? Like, if my intentions is really to, this is somebody I've been watching for some time. This is a sister that, you know, I find her to be thorough. She shoots you down, you know, it may hurt. But you ain't gonna come at her because you've watched her for some time, you know, and you know what your true intentions are. So you're not, you're not gonna be disrespectful. If it's somebody you see out and you know you got some other intentions, you know, when she shoots you down, I think that's when the disrespect may come, you know, and it goes in line with the story. KD was sharing about the ball player from Alabama. His intentions wasn't right. You know, if he had some respect for her, honestly, if he had respect for himself.
See, that's what I wanted to say.
That wouldn't have never happened.
Respect instead of just self. how to react to rejection. Respect. Yeah. If you can respect yourself, you can respect others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of we're losing at in this world, that we're not respectful of others is the reason why that bullshit happened.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hey man, anything else? Did y'all have anything else, man, before we head on out of here, man? We had a great show, man. We talked about the Grammys, had some good conversation on hip hop, 50 years of hip hop. We touched on, you know, some of the artists that we really, really enjoyed, and, you know, some that we learned, gave Viola Davis her flowers. And we touched on, Tyre Nichols, in addition to, you know, being shot down, and how do you, you know, how do men cope with being shot down, and how do you come back from that? And we came up with intentions and respect, man. So was there anything else, man, y'all wanted to, before
wins
we wrap up?
Wins and losses, man, wins and losses. You know, you always got, you got to realize you might have a losing record sometimes, you know what I'm saying?
But you'll win again.
Yeah, eventually. Cowboys fans, you know, eventually
next year
here we go with that. It's our year next year.
Oh man. Oh,
wins and losses, man. You know, how do you deal? Yo, I've really seen, and this is kind of goes in what we're talking about. I've seen a lot of football fans react crazy to their team losing. Taking the big screen off the wall and throwing it outside and starting their car and driving and
running over it.
I've seen another one punch the big scream, you know, at the end of the game, like,
man.
And you hear a woman screaming in the background, you know. They say that Super Bowl, the day of the Super Bowl, Super Bowl Sunday, is the time of the highest rate of domestic violence. That one day is the rate of, you know, because again, people are taking their hurt from the loss out on someone. Wow.
Yeah.
You feel me?
And they're drinking. Yeah.
They're taking the hurt from that loss out on someone, either because of financial investment or just a personal investment in that team. You know, and that's the wins and losses that we're talking about. How are you dealing with rejection? You know, you're taking that, you know, at the Freaknik, you know, when she shoots you down, how are you dealing with the hurt, you know, and the rejection? Yeah. You're going to take it out on her, you know, that's not the right response that we want to, you know, we want to have our young boys having.
Right.
Nah, you know? For sure.
You know, it's funny. I just seen a commercial for a TV. It was like supposed to be indestructible. They was banging it with a mallet and everything, punching it, didn't affect it. And they said, yes, this screen is intended for, and they shot over to a Dallas fan.
enough. That's another shot at it. Boy, that's another shot at it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, man. So now with you with that, man. Dope conversation. Unfortunately, coming into Black History Month with, you know, Tyre Nichols, man, it's a conversation that we, you know, again, you know, are having, man. So, you know, hopefully the family can heal, man. And, you know, those that, you know, do celebrate Black History Month, find some events, find some things that you can celebrate. Although a lot of us, you know, we do it all year long. But, you know, like they say on social media, this month, I'm blackity black.
Black.
Y'all got anything else, man, before we close out, fellas?
I want to say this one thing, because, you know, I'm always into my old shows. And this goes back to the Tyre Nichols thing. It was crazy how even back in the 70s, the one episode of Sanford and Son where they were, it was, you know, they said that heart disease was the number one killer of black men in America. And Fred turned around and said, what? I didn't know that. I thought it was the police.
And it's
comedic, but it seems to, like, it ties into where it's a lot of this behind the scenes that we don't see, that, you know, that the world doesn't see, but we know it, we see it, we hear it, that it goes on. Mm-hmm. And it's just now, because of social media, that a lot of people start to see it. Like, okay, back in the 90s with Rodney King, the video camera started being real popular, so that was able to be caught.
Yeah.
But now, when everybody having a camera phone, now everything, you know, and then now the body cams, and then the cameras on the poles and everywhere, you know, all the security cameras. We are starting to see what we knew was true 40 years ago.
I was
watching. I think it was 2 days after we celebrated Martin Luther King Day, a day of community service, a day of service. Mm-hmm. I was listening to one of his speeches. I'm trying to remember the name of it. I think it was The Struggle Continues, or I don't know if it was I've Been to the Mountaintop. Maybe it was The Struggle Continues. And yo, you want to talk about so relevant?
Mm-hmm.
Yo, just listening to it, I said, man, we could play this joint
one of his later speeches. Where he was actually telling, he was moving more or less from the nonviolence to the I'm about to tell you the truth type of deal.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. I forget which one, man.
I think it was the one about the struggle.
I think it was, KD. Yeah. So, you know, how, you know, some of that stuff, man, the struggle continues, man. Yeah. How that stuff, man, is still so relevant of today. And, you know, you ask yourself, how much, you know, have we progressed, you know? Right. So, Yeah, man. Now, dope, man. I appreciate the fellas, man. It's just our thoughts with the fellas, man. You know, for those that's watching, man, continue to share, man. Reach out. Continue to communicate with us, man. Go to our content. Go to our page, streaming services, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio. Communicate with the fellas. I'm Keith. Yeah. We got my brothers with me, the Professor Kevy Kev, Ward Heen, and E Dub. This is Just Our Thoughts with the fellas. We appreciate you. Set your intentions this week. So that means it's the end of the show.
Yes, sir.
I mean, this show was over.
Wrap it up. Where's the wrap it up sign?